War Room, Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome, War Room Impeachment, 5 December, Year of Our Lord, 2019, Episode 59 from the historic Breitbart Embassy on Capitol Hill, live on the John Frederick Radio Network, the Salem Radio Network nationwide, America's Voice.News, and Newsmax TV, the fastest growing cable news operation in the country, now passing 70 million homes under the great leadership of its founder, Chairman and CEO Chris Ruddy. Chris Ruddy, I think, is scheduled to be with us on Monday in studio. Today we've got the messaging and war room all-stars, Raheem Kassam from the United Kingdom, Jason Miller, chief strategist for the 2016 campaign, and our lead spokesman in 2016, and also the Hispanic Advisory Committee, one of the lead spokesmen for 2020, Steve Cortez. I want to get into it because there's so much going on. Raheem, we've got Nancy Pelosi live. Anything she says? Now, she's on. Guys, and anybody jump in. Fight for the mic this morning. Because we did something last night. Then she said in the middle of the night she's going to come from the Speaker's Bureau. I researched, the great rapid response guy said, I think the last time this happened was when Boehner was there with the Pope. So this is a historic, the Speaker's balcony is something that's used on those occasions when you want to do something historically significant that they're going to look back on. Jason, why did she call, after yesterday, why did she call an audible?
Yeah, and yesterday was a complete failure with bringing in these academic state stiffs to go and lecture the American public. And
Why was it a failure?
It was a complete failure because it was academic state stiffs who are lecturing the American public and talking down
wasn't
to them.
Wasn't that their purpose? To get the Ivy League guys in there to say,
but it was all
because
wrong.
Because to pull it up to a high level to say constitutionally,
but here's what I think important is, you know, it's not about an academic presentation, right? It's not supposed to be a dissertation defense, right? It's about marketing to the American people that this is right, that impeachment is just. And in that regard, as a messaging guy,
do you want the dissertation defense or do you want to market to the American people?
Well, if I were the Democrats, I would have brought in a whole bunch of Republicans or even never Trump Republicans to say, you know what, we're Republicans, but constitutionally speaking, the president has to be impeached. Right. There was nothing that was done yesterday that's going to
And those people are out there. Yeah. It's not like they couldn't have found them. And by the way, too, here's the other thing about the Dems that shocks me, again, as a messaging guys. They knew who Professor Carlin was. You know, this didn't surprise anybody. She didn't come out of nowhere and suddenly become an unlikable radical. She's always been that.
Yeah, they curated that. You think they made a mistake by having people that were almost like activist besides just being constitutional scholars?
Oh, they're beyond activists. I mean, we had a whole segment. Raheem broke some big news by finding the crazy comments from Professor Carlin yesterday that actually Tucker Carlson featured on his show last night. But what you're seeing today with Nancy Pelosi trying to take this narrative back over, I mean, the fact that CNN let off their 6 a.m. newscast this morning hyping Nancy Pelosi's 9 a.m. press conference told you right. They thought yesterday was a dud. But what we're seeing here from Nancy Pelosi, is she
leveraging off that to get to
taking away Jerry Nadler's learner's permit.
Right.
She's saying, Jerry Nadler, you were a disaster running yesterday's.
She's not leveraging off of it. I think she's trying to save it. I think she realizes how terrible yesterday was.
Why was Nadler? Okay, I want to go to you. Why? I'll start with Steve Cortez, Jason Miller. We got Raheem Kassam. Raheem is uncharacteristically quiet because he is focused on the breaking news. We have Nancy Pelosi at the speaker's balcony. And she's wrapped for the radio audience. She is engulfed in the American flags patriotism.
Not just that. It's the red lipstick, the blue pearls, the white jacket, the American flag brooch. It's all red, white, and blue this morning from the speaker's balcony. And she is saying right now, live, that the president used his position to personally benefit himself. She's saying it leaves us no choice but to act. So any idea that they're not going full throttle with this impeachment inquiry is a
false. I got people last night that thought it was so bad, and it was so bad, it said she has to go to censure.
Right.
She's had this, but she can't
because the radical elements of her base are forcing her to take this move. She had a meeting with her conference yesterday where they were breaking out in cheers, but you know who wasn't cheering? I think a lot of those 31 right. Democrats in Trump districts.
The dirty 30.
Right.
Why do you think, okay, I'm going to go real quick to something yesterday. Nadler, because Nadler still got got a big role in this. He's got to control the actual drafting of the articles of impeachment. Why do you think Jason Miller's been saying a learner's permit for Nadler?
Right.
He blew up the Mueller thing, collapsed. Corin Lewandowski bench pressed him yesterday, right. Was a fiasco. Do you think Nadler's up to this?
No, I don't. And I think that's exactly why the speaker, very smartly, by the way, I'll give her credit for this. That was good, right? A patriotic, solemn presentation that she just made to the country. Good marketing, right?
10 minutes long, right?
Of course, I disagree with her completely on the substance of it, yeah. But I'll give her credit. That's good messaging. And it's the exact opposite of what we saw yesterday, which was a bunch of smug professors lecturing the American people and talking down to us.
Sorry to break in again, guys. So Nancy Pelosi has just finished speaking. She says she is asking the chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment, and she concluded her speech by saying, not taking any questions, walking straight off and saying, we will proceed in a manner worthy of our oaths of office and will protect the United States of America from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
But
you know, we didn't hear any evidence today or yesterday of anything tying President Trump to quid pro quo, to bribery, to extortion, to obstruction, to any of the nonsense the Democrats have put forward. They're back where they started this thing. Nowhere.
She said we have to act and we have to act now? You know, Jason Miller had a thing before the show. We were going back and forth. The false urgency of now. What did she say, Raheem, in her 10-minute talk? That reinforce, why do you have to go now? Why do you have to go over the Christmas holiday season? Why can't this just go into next year and take some time to develop, bring in more witnesses, get more evidence? What was her argument about now?
She didn't directly address the expediency of it, but she did make it clear that she feels that there is enough evidence that has been garnered right now in order to proceed. She talked about, I mean, 5 minutes of her opening gambit was about Britain, the King, and Parliament.
Right.
And then she jumped directly into what the President has done to personally benefit himself, and she concluded with pushing forward with articles of impeachment. She didn't, interestingly, I thought she might take questions, and there were no questions shouted out when she finished either. People were
they hold her with deference, much sure. More
just
deference.
Just stunned into silence by her grandeur.
But I'll tell you, I think why she has to go now, again, from a messaging perspective, is because they're losing momentum, right? You know, there's a phrase, I've worked on Wall Street for 25 years, there's a Wall Street phrase, the trend is your friend. Right now, the trend is in favor of the president, is in favor of the deplorables.
Because
the polling,
because
shows,
the polling
that.
Shows that.
The polling shows it. And I think also just anecdotally, we can see it. We
and
can see
new,
the ratings.
There's new polling out this morning. Morning Consult headline, impeachment probe isn't making Trump less popular, saying that essentially this is going the wrong direction for the Dems. There's another one this morning.
That I want to go back to her grandeur and why she's tying it back to the Constitution, why she's tying it back to the
John Frederick Show and your Godzilla of truth is so sick and tired of the...
And by the way, we get a bonus commercial.
I love those bonus ads.
I love it. I love those. That's where you got to stay on your, you know, you got to be on your toes on here. You never know when you're going to get a bonus ad thrown in. Raheem.
Yes.
This was very symbolic. This is now Pelosi versus Trump. Whereas Hillary Clinton couldn't do it. Right? They're not so sure Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or, you know, the hope they had a Kamala Harris is gone. They don't think anybody might say Mayor Pete. Doesn't look like anybody's going to be able to do it. Bloomberg's coming in. Other people talking about coming in. But now it's Nancy Pelosi versus Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. That was a presidential type speech, or at least to show the separation of powers. That's why she wrapped herself in the American flag. That's why she dressed like she did. Mm-hmm. That's why she went back and did that type of connected back to the original founders.
It was very bold. It was very bold imagery. It was very bold statements. She repeated again in her 10 minutes earlier here on Capitol Hill that Democrats are very prayerful about this process. She wasn't trying to come across aggressive or gloating or boastful about this. She was trying to come across, dignified, statesmanlike, cautious, but with the will to act.
More right. In sadness
and
than
she
in anger.
Had to do that. I think she had to try to save the narrative because of how much damage was done to it yesterday.
Yes.
And particularly, by the way, not just that these professors were awful, and they were, but don't make light of the fact that they attacked the child of the president. But that matters, and it matters to the American people. And I think what she's doing today is a very effective job of trying to make up for that.
But there's a fundamental problem that her her remarks this morning, what it's doing, it is reminding everybody this is a partisan exercise.
Sure.
With Nancy,
why?
Nancy Pelosi is going to lead every newscast tonight with her stark remarks saying they have to move to impeachment. That is making this purely a Democrat.
But she tied it back to the Constitution. She tied it back to the King of. She tied it back to why the revolutionary generation broke off because
and the American people doesn't care about that. The American people doesn't want a history book or a law class. What they're looking, seeing the leader of the Democratic Party is attacking President Trump.
And if the media, by the way, didn't treat her with such kid gloves, they would ask her directly, how can she justify impeachment now when she herself said it has to be bipartisan? I mean, she said it.
We're going to take a short commercial break. This War Room Impeachment, episode 59 from the Breitbart Embassy. Raheem, Jason, Steve Cortez joining us this morning. Stephen K. Bannon. Take a short commercial break. When we return, I'm putting the question to this great group. Is she a master strategist, or has this been a dud? Next on War Room Impeachment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 5 December, year of our Lord, 2019. Episode 59, a historic moment a few minutes ago at the Speaker's balcony, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, throwing down the gauntlet. The President of the United States, Donald Trump. This reason we're doing the show, War Room Impeachment, every day, 7 days a week, until the day after President Donald J. Trump is acquitted by the United States Senate. It's obvious we're hurtling towards that, as she threw down today. With John Fredericks Radio Network nationwide on Salem Radio, on AmericasVoice.news, and on America's fastest-growing cable operation, Newsmax TV. Raheem, have Bill McGinley, the cabinet secretary. Next half hour, we're going to finish up with Steve Cortez, the always brilliant Steve Cortez, who's going to give us his ideas, opinions, observations. You have a clip for us, Raheem?
Yeah, I'm playing it now.
Today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary.
That was the big line.
Okay, Cortez. They burned their boats.
Right.
Right. That's why I'm going to Cortez for this. They burned their boats because they had the experts up there, as smug as they might be, with all the Ivy League. Is she a master strategist in this, or is she doesn't understand, has not taken the real measure of the man, Donald Trump?
No, listen, I do think she's a master strategist. And you're right. They burned the boats. There's no going back now. And it is an allusion to my great-great-granddad, Hernan Cortez, the conquistador, who burned the boats. But they burned the boats. Here's why I believe she's a master strategist. And I probably make a lot of people cringe in the MAGA world when I say that. But she waited to do this, to do impeachment, until she realized that they cannot beat the president in November. That's why this is happening. This is the nullification project. They don't want to take us on in the war of ideas. They don't want to take us on in a plebiscite in an election the way they're supposed to. She knows how weak the Democratic field is, and so she very strategically, and I think smartly, you know, it's diabolical, but it's smart to say this is going to be the mechanism for us to remove Trump.
She can't remove. She knows she doesn't have the votes to remove him from office,
but
how would she weaken him? What do you think? You're the opposite school of thought.
Yeah, so I do not believe that Nancy Pelosi is a master strategist. I think she did a very good job of beating up the president the last couple of months, but what we're seeing today is peak narcissism. Speaker Pelosi believes that she can outfight political gravity. And the reality in this country is that it's very divided. People are going back to their ideological norms. I mean, heck, CBS's John Dickerson this morning said of yesterday's hearings, where you sit depends on where you previously stood. Nothing has changed. But Nancy Pelosi believes that by changing the setting and by going and continuing to punch President Trump, that she's going to somehow break through.
Even worse, right? You picked up a buried lead last night on Anderson Cooper. I know that you both have been CNN contributors. You still are. Steve, Jason was there for a couple of years. You noticed something on Anderson Cooper last night with David Gergen.
It was huge. It was one of the biggest buried leads. So Anderson goes David Gergen during the break.
Who's a hater? Gergen's a hater.
He's a hater of the first magnitude. He's someone who worked for Reagan.
He defines the establishment.
He worked for Reagan and Clinton. Explain to me how that works, but whatever, we're going to let that slide. So he goes, David, you know, you're saying something about President Trump being a different kind of president. And Gergen gurgles out saying that if President Trump were a normal, that's a quote, upstanding president, and I'm quoting here, and then this happened and he made this phone call, I think we wouldn't be impeaching him. And Anderson, to his credit, immediately jumps in and says, if that is your belief, that would be an argument against impeaching. Right. And so Anderson jumped on. So Gergen, he threw out a bunch of mumble jumble, and Anderson saved him by redirecting to Robert
Ray. Give Anderson a lot of credit, by the way, for challenging him on that. And because, yeah, here's what Gergen did. He gave up the ghost. He said, you know what? We just hate the president.
Exactly.
That's what this is about. We just despise the president. And in a personal way, not even so much in a policy way, they don't agree with the policies clearly as well, but this is much more visceral for them. And he admitted it into a live mic.
And that's what's so interesting about when you go back and watch our TV, and Raheem, if we get a chance, we'll try to put that up, because you could tell that the producer was in Anderson's ear. You got to get
him. Save him. Get off the ropes, Rocky. Off the ropes.
But the boats were burned. It was too late.
Yeah. I want to go where we have Cortez about Nadler. Nadler's still got a huge aspect. That we still have two huge events that Nadler's got to handle on his own. And yesterday, I think he showed how ill-equipped he is to go up against Gates, to go up against Collins. He's still got to get the presentation of the reports. They're saying that that's going to be live on TV. I hear next week some sort of hearing, at least what they're planning. Then he's got to have the argument about the articles of impeachment. Cortez, first you think he's up to it?
Gosh, no, absolutely not. I mean, he showed us yesterday that this isn't about defending a dissertation, right? This is about marketing to the American people. It's a campaign, effectively, right? I mean, that's what they're really doing. They're trying to have next November's campaign now.
That's early. What
they're trying to do. And he is not remotely the messenger that you want leading a campaign. He's not up to it intellectually, and he's certainly not up to it from a communication standpoint. He is not the person who can persuade the American people. Now, Pelosi, I think, does do a very good job, and I expect we'll see more of her from here forward.
What happens with Nadler? You got guys like Collins, you got Gates, and particularly a Schiff. Schiff's actually, I think, going to present. I think what we're hearing is he may actually come and present part of the report itself.
So I'm hearing conflicting things about next week's judiciary hearing, whether it's going to be staff from the House Intel Committee or whether it's going to be Schiff and the rest of the crew. But I think, to Steve's point, this is where we definitely agree. Nadler has two challenges in front of him. There's the actual made-for-TV aspect of this, which he has failed massively over and over again. In fact, he might be, Pelosi, not just taking away his learner's permit, he might be busted down to a tricycle.
Right.
Or one of those
training wheels.
Yeah, one of those bears, you know, rolling around on the big ball. They might bust him down on that by this is over. But when you talk about the strategic drafting of the articles of impeachment, I don't have any confidence that Nadler can pull that off.
Right. No, you're right. He's not up to it in substance, nor is he in messaging. I mean, I think he fails on both counts. It's really kind of amazing that Schiff and Nadler so far are the faces of impeachment, because neither is up to it, neither is likable, neither is intellectually able to make the case to the American people. I mean,
this segues from Pervo, and we'll go next. You had Stefanik, you had others step up in House Intel and become overnight stars. Who on this committee do you see out? What counterbalances Nadler from the Republicans? Who do you see the breakout people here?
I thought Doug Collins, the ranking member on Judiciary, did a fantastic job. I wish he was in the U.S. Senate. I don't think we'd seen a lot of Doug Collins previously, but he had a masterclass. But I still think that this generation's Floyd Mayweather, so to speak, is Matt Gaetz. He got up there. He eviscerated the nutty professor.
Right.
He called them out on their Democratic contributions. This guy is so good.
You can't steal my Mayweather, by the way. I always use that analogy for the president, because I always say he's the best political counterpuncher in history, and there's no better actual counterpuncher in history than Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. So please don't steal my that can't be Gates. That's Trump. Trump is Mayweather. But your point is well taken. I agree, Doug Collins. All I could think of watching is, why is he not Senator Doug Collins?
This is Kemp yesterday, and this is what we talked about last week in the show. He's going to have a national moment, and Collins delivered, right? Collins delivered the theatrics of it, how he handled himself. Okay, we've got Bill McGinley coming in. Here's what it's great to have McGinley today. It's about a grind. It's about a war of attrition. McGinley said this 4 weeks ago on the show. That's where we're getting back in today. I want to finish your closing thoughts, Steve Cortez.
Again, the Democrats are failing on messaging. Thank goodness, because they don't have a case, by the way. So I'm glad that they're not able to
Is opportunity cost starting to come up here, what they're not doing, USMCA, all of that?
100%. Look, we're heading into Christmas season right now, and America is riding high. Optimism is surging. The labor market has probably never been better in this country. Imagine how much even better it could be if we actually had a government that was pro-growth instead of fixating on these ridiculous machinations on Capitol Hill. If we actually had pro-growth policies, infrastructure, the USMCA, and more.
You may see that come up tonight. Nancy Pelosi is taking questions from a CNN audience at a town hall in Washington, D.C. I suspect some people will ask what's going on with the opportunity costs.
We got to jump. It's War Room Impeachment, short commercial break and turn, episode 59. We're going to have Bill McGinley, the cabinet secretary, is going to be in next. He was the guy that talked about the war of attrition. We're going to talk about that. I want to thank Steve Cortez. Fantastic job, CNN contributor. And we'll be announcing. He's got a lot of future in radio, which we'll be talking about tomorrow. I want to thank you. Take a short commercial break. Be back with episode 59 in a moment.
War Room. Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 5 December, Year of the Lord 2019, episode 59, John Frederick Radio Network, nationwide on the Salem Radio Network, America's News, America's Voice.news, and Newsmax TV, now in 70 million homes, Chris Ruddy's great organization. Honored to be joined by Bill McGinley, Cabinet Secretary in the Trump administration, right out of the box, partner at Holtzman Vogel, and sat in this very seat 4 weeks ago and talked about the war of attrition, which CNN's now ripping off. We're going to get to Bill in a second, but I want to go to some breaking news. Mr. Raheem Kassam.
Well, the big stories at the moment following yesterday was the Pamela Carlin and Noah Feldman.
They were a charming couple.
Strange pair. Noah Feldman, unfortunately, there's no clip of this, but had written an op-ed in the New York Times exalting Sharia law, saying it was the most liberal and humane system of law in history.
He had not been familiar with your writings.
That's correct. I've mailed him no-go zones. Available at all good Amazons near you. And the one that really stood out, and thanks to Jack and Greg in the War Room for spotting this, was a speech from Pamela Carlin to the American Constitution Society back in 2006. And here's the extent to which we go through this stuff in the War Room. Jack Maxey pulled out, I guess it was 30 seconds out of a 35-minute speech she gave to the ACS in 2006.
Called a buried lead, baby.
It's not just called a buried lead, as we said on the special, the historic special show last night. How did nobody else spot this? Where are the Republican opposition staff? You know, where are people going through this? Anyway, let's listen to who Pamela Carlin is. Remember, this is another one of the Democrat stars of their show. I want to play you guys a clip of just what she believes.
We have to seize back the high ground on patriotism and on love of our country because we have more reason than they do to love America. The rich, pampered, prodigal, sanctimonious, incurious, white, straight sons of the powerful do pretty well everywhere in the world, and they always have. But what about us? Snarky, bisexual, Jewish women who want the freedom to say what we think, read what we want, and love whom we do.
What about her? She's obviously oppressed.
Is that the new battle cry of freedom right there? That's trying to put that to
but
music.
But their thing too, I mean, Raheem makes a great point about where the Republicans in finding this. How did the Democrats think this was a good idea? How does Jerry Nadler, who's completely unprepared to run this thing, look and say, thought bubble, this would be the person I want to put on national TV.
What does that remind you of? Homophobic, xenophobic, yeah. The basket of deplorable speech that Hillary Clinton gave, right? Yeah. And a lot of site traffic I need to mention right now to warroom.org. is coming in from Dan Bongino's new news aggregator, the Bongino Report. BonginoReport.com, looking to challenge the Drudge Report, which some people say is going a little left.
Well, whether it challenges or not, Dan is a real fighter. So it'd be interesting. Anything he puts up there would be interesting. I want to go to, so speaking of fighters, McGinley, we've only got a short segment here. I want to go to, first, what Raheem just said, but you walked in here not even seeing the Pelosi thing, because Cortez was in for the last episode. You're sitting out in the war room, not even able to see it. You came in and almost word for word told us what she said. How did you know that?
Because if you're looking at the hearing yesterday, the Democrats did not advance the ball. They brought in three elitist law professors, and the Republicans only got one. That visual alone told you that they were stacking the deck against Republicans. And the average American out there is looking for a fair process. And the visual and the testimony demonstrated that this is a rigged system.
Why do you think the testimony said? Why do you think the content, beside the visual, why did the content show there was a stacked deck?
Because they came in and all they did was offer opinions and label the proceedings as having proven something.
As a lawyer, you don't think they made a case of why for the urgency of now that this has to be done and it has to be done now?
No, this is impeachment by fiat. This is impeachment by saying,
I think this should be done, therefore it is done. Regardless of the evidence, regardless of the procedures.
Bill, I want to ask you a question. The Democrats picked an interesting hill to die on yesterday, that impeachable offenses don't have to be criminal offenses. Will this sell with the American public?
No, because what they're doing is every time that the Republicans bat down their charges, bat down the supposed evidence that they've presented, they change the standards to fit what they think they've actually got. And that's not how we do things in America. In America, we give people clear notice as to what's prohibited and what's permitted. Why? Because we don't want to just have arbitrary decisions that we decide we don't like you. So what we're going to do is fashion a charge and make the charge fit what we think you did.
Do you think then Charlie made the case that it has to be, to Jason's point, does it have to be a, you think it has to be a criminal charge here?
I think at least. I think that the bar for impeachment is so high because Hamilton in Federalist 65, as Professor Turley said, warned against this very thing. And he said that the danger is we're going to have a hyper-partisan or factionalized atmosphere in America, and the Congress is going to use it to try and undo the election. It has to be a high bar to undo the vote.
Okay, Bill McGinley is our guest. War Room Impeachment. Take a short commercial break and return with Raheem, Jason, Bill McGinley, Stephen K. Bannon. Short commercial break. We'll return on the John Fredericks, the Salem, America's Voice, .news, and Newsmax in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, episode 59, Breitbart Embassy on the Salem Radio Network, the John Fredericks Radio Network, America's Voice.news, and Newsmax TV. Bill McGinley, former cabinet secretary in the Trump administration, is with us. Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. Jason, you've got a couple of questions you want to get to Bill right away.
Yeah, Bill, first right off the top, the White House met with senators yesterday to talk through potential strategies. Pat Cipollone was making the comments about the flawed process and not sure if this is should even be voted out of the House. What was your takeaway on how the White House is looking to frame this as we head toward a Senate trial?
I thought it was spot on correct. I think you're looking at a House process where the Democrats are flipping a coin saying heads we win, tails you lose. And what the president's looking for is a process that's going to be fair. That's going to allow him to put on his case and expose the flaws of the democratic process that they've done, the lack of evidence against him, the shifting legal standards that they've employed to try and frame this narrative. And I think the White House is signaling to the Senate, we are going to have a process in the Senate that's going to allow us to vindicate this president, both on the factual grounds and the legal grounds. I think if I remember correctly in the story, Pat Cipollone wasn't going in there to say, this is how you need to do the process. Pat Cipollone went in there and said, we are counting on you to be a bastion of fairness with due process. Everything that we are being denied in the House, we expect the Senate to provide.
So speaking of fairness, friend of the show, Indiana Congressman Jim Banks yesterday called on Lindsey Graham in the Senate to subpoena Schiff and Biden's phone records. What do you think about the prospects of that?
I think they're pretty low, although in the trial, I think it's important that Chairman Schiff testify.
Why? I know that's a pretty radical thing. Why?
Because I think he's the one who prepared the factual report. And just like Ken Starr had to go into the House of Representatives and also, I believe, was questioned in the Senate, has to present the contents of his report. I mean, that's just standard practice. There has to be somebody under oath to basically, somebody has to be able to say, this is our report. That the contents are what we produce. It's why Bob Mueller went before.
You don't think it could be staff? We talked about it earlier that it could be staff. You think it's actually
he's the chairman of the committee. Okay. That's his responsibility.
You think he really is the Ken Starr? Because they've argued he really is not the Ken Starr part here. You're saying,
but whenever it fits his purpose, Chairman Schiff has gone out and said the reason the Intel Committee did the factual development is because we didn't have a prosecutor deliver us a report. We're functioning as a prosecutor, which, by the way, gives him some advantages, but gives him a lot of drawbacks. If you want to play that role, then some of the due process protections that are afforded any other defendant should be afforded to this president.
Listen, Banks is not a radical, and you were fairly dismissive of this. Why wouldn't, since we had this surprise, I'm still kind of confused about how the House uses its subpoena power to get the metadata from the phone companies, and particularly on Devin Nunes, to make it such a big deal. You were pretty dismissive. You don't think Lindsey Graham and these guys have the ability, or you just don't think they have the will to go get phone records?
I don't think they're going to do it at this point. The House proceedings are not done. I think.
Well, not now. I'm saying, but once this thing's voted on, they'll have the opportunity to do that. You don't think that'll happen at the time?
It could. It could. I think it depends upon what comes out of the House. You know, the phone records issue is an interesting one. Because people like me who have practiced before, like the Committee on Ethics, representing members of Congress, sometimes there's a parallel grand jury investigation. Prosecutors will notify the committee to say, we're on this, stand down so that we have a clear field to conduct our investigation. We know that there's an investigation out of the Southern District of New York into some of these things, so why did the Intel Committee start subpoenaing records that could actually be relevant to that investigation?
Well, part of that was to humiliate, try to humiliate Devin, right?
Yeah. This is very much a media play, the intersection of media and law. They wanted to, again, do this weird Parnas plus Giuliani plus John Solomon plus Devin Nunes equals impeach Trump.
But it was very unusual. I found it to be very unusual, and it raised the question of what other evidence did they collect that didn't make it into the report?
And right? That's one of the reasons under oath he has to testify.
Yes, because I think the Republicans need to ask for an inventory of the evidence collected by the Intel Committee.
It's big.
You know what I mean? And the reason I say this is, and the reason I bring up his role as a quasi-prosecutor for the House of Representatives, under the Constitution, a Supreme Court case, it's called the Brady Rule. Prosecutors are required to disclose to the defendant's counsel exculpatory evidence in their possession, whether or not they request it. So if Chairman Schiff and Daniel Goldman, who a former Southern District of New York prosecutor, have collected evidence that didn't make it into the report that could be exculpatory for this president, and exculpatory could both mean going to the merits of the accusation against him or the form of punishment, then that should be disclosed to the president. You saw a lot of the Republicans yesterday on the Judiciary Committee asking, why are we not permitted to see the raw evidence from the Intel Committee? Why are we getting a summary of what you think your best case is?
A curated version of this.
Yes, in the form of some, you know, story that you want to tell and 12 pages in the executive summary and otherwise. We can draw our own conclusions, deliver the raw evidence, we'll go through it and decide what we think goes to the merits of the case, what is exculpatory, and what is not relevant.
McGinley nails it again. Raheem, the campaign, the Trump campaign 2020 has already come out and put out a statement. What's the highlights of that?
Yeah, this morning the Trump campaign responding to the Nancy Pelosi statement on the speaker's balcony. They said, we're less than a year away from election 2020 and Democrats can't explain to the American people why they want to take the decision away from the voters. Impeaching the president has always been their goal. They should get on with it, have a fair trial in the Senate and expose the swamp for what it is. Speaker Pelosi, Chairman Schiff, and Hunter Biden should testify, and then we can get back to the business of running our country.
Nancy Pelosi should testify. Is that what they said?
Speaker Pelosi, Chairman Schiff, and Hunter Biden.
This may be to the point of what Bill McGinley, what Bill McGinley's talking about. How do you think the campaign is positioning themselves right now?
I think the campaign's doing what they need to, which is keep the pressure on the Democrats, keep playing the fairness issue. That is the fundamental thing. Keep in mind, most folks around the country are not lawyers. Most people are not spending 6 hours a day glued to the CNN watching these hearings like we are. But if they can keep the issue on fairness and keep the issue on partisan divide, which is where it is now, to Bill's point about the war of attrition, President Trump survives.
Why do you say it's a war of attrition?
Because I think this is going to continue to go deposition by deposition, hearing by hearing. And I think we saw yesterday when the Republicans step up and actually challenge the witnesses that the Democrats are putting forward, they are scoring points. And they're exposing the hollowness of these charges and the factual record that the Democrats have produced thus far. And I think it needs to keep happening. I think we need to keep scratching for every point that we can get, every victory we can secure. Because at the end of the day, if this thing comes down to a draw, the Democrats have lost. Why have you put the country through this? Why have you divided the country when you ran in 2018 on a message of bringing the country together, working with this president, trying to achieve policy success?
Okay, we had to take a short commercial break before the wrap up. But the question I've got when we come back, is this a kamikaze mission for the Speaker of the House? When we return in a moment with Bill McGinley, Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller, Steve Bannon on War Room Impeachment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment. On the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to episode 59. Brother McGinley, is this a kamikaze mission for the... Well, before we get that, Raheem, you've got a buried lead about the Senate, what they're going to be doing in the month of January?
Yeah, the Washington Post put up this morning and buried right at the bottom of one of their stories that the Senate's normal business appears to resume according to a release schedule on the 1st of February, which means they've blocked the entirety of January for a Senate trial.
Is this a kamikaze mission for the Speaker of the House? Is she putting her entire speakership on the line here to go against Trump?
Yeah, but it tells me that she didn't have a choice, that she faced a revolt in her caucus potentially if she didn't go forward with this. And now that she's done it, she's put their majority on the line, because the Democrats in the House are going to be held accountable for the votes that they take and how they conducted themselves.
What's your assessment? You got about a minute. What's your assessment of where we stand today, given what she said, and going forward?
I think that the Republicans have fought this to a good place. They have an opportunity to seize the offensive and wrap themselves in the flag.
Whoa.
To go on offense.
In the House.
And I think that the way that they do this is to expand the universe, to talk about how this is the American system of government that's at stake. And then if the House of Representatives and a tyrannical majority in the House is going to be allowed to do this just because you have 218 votes, it has the potential to destabilize the system. It's why Professor Turley and others came out and said there should be a very high bar for impeachment. Why? Because you're undoing an election. You are basically disregarding the will of the people and the president that they've selected. And you need to have clear, compelling, convincing evidence, just like Bill Hurd said, who said he doesn't see it.
One thing we have not done is put the nullification project on trial. And what he's saying is go on offense and let's do it. Let's go through the whole thing and see how they're trying to jeopardize the system of government. We only got a couple of minutes here. But another big interview yesterday, Howard Stern with my girl, Hillary Clinton. How was it? She's coming.
She's running. I mean, she was polished. She was relaxed. She wasn't overprogrammed where they put in the different computer chips into her head during the last campaign. She did have a little bit of a coughing fit, which is a little bit of a flashback to the strength and stamina commercial.
That was on brand.
That was on message. Maybe she was just owning the conservatives by going and coughing and saying, you know what, I can cough and still run for president.
Trolling.
But it's exactly. But very seriously speaking, Hillary Clinton looks and sounds like a candidate for president.
What's interesting is that she actually admitted in there that if she had done more things like Howard Stern, she thought she would be more competitive, and they had all kind of callers. A couple of the callers were crying. Raheem, you got about a minute here. We got to jump, but any summary thoughts before we go in to more of a big weekend?
Well, firstly, I never thought I'd say this. I thought Hillary Clinton actually looked good in her interview with Howard Stern. She came across very relaxed. She looked good. Her hair was done. She looked like she had been in the sun a little bit. And finally, we must take note of the Washington Post editorial board op-ed today when they say Jonathan Turley, the Republican pick yesterday in the Judiciary Committee hearings, is half right. That's their way of saying he's right. I recommend everyone having a look at the
op-ed. You think he stood in the breach yesterday?
I do.
And Turley's no Trump fan.
Not at all. Not at all. But I think that the reason that he was so convincing to the Washington Post editorial board is because he was the one witness they had in that hearing that was credible and objective.
Okay. War Room Impeachment's on 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on the John Frederick Radio Network, Salem Broadcast Radio, America's Voice.News, and now Newsmax TV. This is going to be a wild one. She's due down the gauntlet today. Go to warroom.org. Things on fire. Thank you. See you tomorrow morning.